All boats are aligned. Attention.
Welcome back to the Way Enough Podcast with Short and Snarky Rowing. We're your host and MCs, the Short and Snarky Coxswains. I'm Sam, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Kate.
Hey, Sam, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. This week's episode, we're going to have a really special guest on. This is one of my favorite rowing people, Alicia Jerger, who is one of our local coaches and program directors out here in Arizona. And we're going to talk about some other hot topics in rowing, and I think if, you know, I'd like to mention, as we always should, if you haven't picked up our book, The Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing, get it on Amazon. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and we would love to hear from you and have you follow us there.
Absolutely, and we'll get into it. Today's top story: a 300-pound bronze statue of the Cal Crew coach, Carol Kai Ebright, has been reported missing. It was reported missing on January 12th from the campus boathouse. It has been valued at $80,000. I have a lot of questions.
I have a lot of questions about this, too. I mean, first of all, a 300-pound statue.
It's 300 pounds. That's too heavy. One person can't carry that. So how many people are doing this?
Well, I mean, you know, I think a lot of questions I have, especially about the size of the 300-pound statue, is probably pretty minuscule.
It's a 300-pound statue. It's bronzed. It is a man who has been quoted as being having a coxswain-like stature. Okay, so the guy's pretty small.
Right.
He's been called the Little Admiral. So I'm wondering how many people are stealing this thing. And, I mean, they're rowers, so are they carrying it on their shoulder, or, you know, how are they getting it out? Is there Benny Hill music playing? I have a lot of questions.
I mean, you know, you couldn't really put it down your unisuit.
No, but that's mostly what rowers do, is they do put it in their unisuit, and if they did, I want to know where they carried it.
Right. Well, if you are anywhere near a scrapyard in Northern California, be on the lookout for the Little Admiral statue, which is missing, and I wonder if Cal's going to have to commission a new statue.
And what kind of security do they have at the boathouse? Like, how did nobody see, there's no security tapes at the boathouse?
I don't know. We don't have security cameras at our boathouse. So.
No, but we also are under a bridge, so I don't know what to tell you on that one.
Well, excellent. Well, I think our first guest today is going to be Alicia Jerger, and we're going to give her a call and talk to her. So let's get her on the phone here.
All right. Sounds good. I'm excited.
Hey, Alicia, you are on the Short and Snarky Podcast with Kate and Sam. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
Well, fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us today. We are going to be talking today to our celebrity guest. Alicia Jerger is one of our topics for today is going to be rowing in movies.
Yeah, because Alicia has been in a movie.
So, Alicia, tell us a little bit about how you were cast as a rower in a major motion picture production.
Well, it was pretty fantastic. It was about 10 years ago, and I was working in Southern California. And I was actually contacted by Warner Brothers because I oversaw a rowing center that taught classes and worked with master's rowers and junior rowers, the whole sort of gamut. And they wanted to use some of my equipment. And so I had sort of worked with them, and so I kind of had an idea that this movie was being made, and then it turned out that they didn't want any of my equipment. So I thought, well, oh well, it would have been fun, but, you know, then I had moved on. And then one of the local collegiate coaches was working as a double on the movie. He was doing some of the rowing scenes for the actor. And so he contacted us, and he had said that we needed rowers who were under the age of 30, who were women, and who were not collegiate rowers. Because as you know, you can't get paid to row if you are in college. And I pretty much fit the bill. So I rounded up a bunch of friends, and we went to L.A. and did the filming.
And what? Tell us about the movie. What movie was it?
So the movie is Must Love Dogs. And it came out, it was a little over 10 years ago with Diane Lane and John Cusack. and it's actually like a kind of internet dating movie. Like they meet each other on a website, and her tagline is "Must love dogs," even though she doesn't have a dog. It's quite—it's all quite ridiculous.
But it's not ridiculous, Alicia. It's not ridiculous.
But it's a romantic comedy.
Excellent.
So, and John Cusack's character builds these wooden rowing shells for a living, and so that's kind of where the rowing comes into it.
That's why John Cusack is the best, by the way.
Oh my gosh! When I saw Diane Lane, I was very excited because I enjoy her. But when I saw John Cusack, I kind of lost myself. Like, I was super starstruck. Like, he walked by us at one time and made a joke, and we all laughed like we were idiots. Like, it's really, it kind of just, it was embarrassing. Now that I look back on it, it was super embarrassing the way we behaved. But we were able to go to Lake Malibu, which is outside of Los Angeles, and we filmed for about a week. So, it was really fun. And
you got paid.
We got paid very, very handsomely. We were actually considered featured extras because we were there because we knew how to row. Like, we weren't there just to stand in the background. We
right.
were there with a purpose. So we got paid more than like an extra did. And I actually could have joined the Screen Actors Guild with what we did that week.
And I'm kind of disappointed you didn't.
What's that?
I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't.
I know, and I am too, especially looking back. Although I walked away with about $2,000, and at the time it cost $2,000 to join the Screen Actors Guild. So I weighed the pros and cons and figured I would, as a 20-something-year-old, and I needed the money.
There you go, Short and Snarkians. You have... We have now learned that we can be featured extras in movies and get paid quasi-handsomely. I'm excited about that.
I mean, the movie I think of most recently, at least, was The Social Network. It's got that big rowing sequence in it. It's got some training. But, Alicia, I've got a clip from this is my number one favorite movie. It is not a rowing movie, but I want to see if you can guess, based on the intro, it's got rowing in the intro sequence, and I want to see if you can guess what this is. This is the opening credits.
Oh.
Oh, she knows what it is.
I mean, I know the music, and I'm trying to think. I don't know what movie that is.
So I'll give you a hint. It is the 1983 classic with Dan Aykroyd. Nope.
No.
Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, and it is based in Philadelphia.
Places.
Yep.
I knew the music. I did just watch that movie not too long ago.
So it has classic rowing scenes, a boathouse row, in the intro credits, and that's kind of fun to watch. So.
Oh, absolutely.
That's wonderful. I was talking with a colleague the other day about how when I watch movies and there's water anywhere in the movie, I automatically stop paying attention to what's happening in the movie, and I look for rowing. I look for a boat. I look if the water is rowable.
I
see if there's rowing.
I just told Kate, because I was thinking about any movie that I watch that has rowing, I immediately go... Oh, that's rowing. Like, I don't know what an actual movie is or, like, what it is. I just know there's rowing in it. I'm like, oh, there's rowing. There it is. I see it.
Yeah, you look at the rowing, and then, unfortunately, we judge the rowing. And if you watch Must Love Dogs, please don't judge.
That's okay. No judging.
We did have to take Diane Lane on the boat with us, and they were big, giant dogs. And it was still even a puppy. I can't remember what they were called, what kind of dog they were. And so she and the dog jumped off the boat at the climax of the movie.
What?
And so they were on the boat with us because she goes out to get John Cusack.
I
and
guess
Professor
I don't remember
Love,
this movie.
Spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen it. And they have to jump off the boat. And so we're on a very weird contraption barge. And it's kind of embarrassing. And we're all in matching outfits.
Okay, I'm watching this now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch this movie. Did you get to keep the outfits?
We did not. One rower was pretty adamant that she wanted to keep something, and they finally relented and let her keep, like, a visor. I did steal the hanger that our outfit was on because the dry cleaners was like Hollywood dry cleaners. And I stole the hanger and I have it to this day.
I love it. That is fantastic.
Exploiting your own misdemeanors live on a podcast.
Yes, I figured the statute of limitations is up. So I figured I could.
I was going to say, you're good.
I could admit it. So, but it was very fun. And it's one of those stories that, you know, I tell every few months, and it's just as much fun to tell it every time because it was just so ridiculous. But I just happened to know somebody, and he was connected to the movie, and then we got to do this, and it was a full week, and they paid for food and lodging and everything, and it was fantastic.
That sounds pretty good. I would really like to be an extra in a rowing movie.
They should make Must Loves Dogs 2, and I would be in it.
There you go.
We want a sequel.
The great part was we kept asking, we're like, are they going to put us in the credits? Like, you know, and then it'll be for real, like that we're really in the movie. And then they informed us that they might actually just cut the scene altogether. And then we were mortified, and we had to wait like 8 months until the movie came out to see if we'd even made the movie. Oh. So we, you know, we told everyone we knew that we were in this movie, and then we were worried that we might not even show up in it. But but we get a good cut, see my face. I'm the only rower wearing sunglasses, so I'm very, because we're in matching outfits, so the glasses help because you can kind of spot me pretty quick.
Setting yourself apart, and you learned what it was like to be in acting, an actor, yes. The actor's struggle.
Excellent.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Well, Alicia, you've got a great story about how you first learned to row, and I would love you to tell it because I bet you're the only person on the planet that learned to row in a golf course pond.
Yes. Well, I was a basketball player all through junior high and into high school, and I did want to play in college. I was a good basketball player. I wasn't a great basketball player, and even though I am tall, I wasn't tall enough. So I had a few fights collegiately, and you know, I was going to sort of go to a small Catholic school in Northern California, where I'm sure I would have fit in perfectly, and I got a call one day from a coach in Southern California, and he was a rowing coach, and he asked if I'd ever thought of it, and I said, not really, but that I would, you know, be happy to take him up on a trip out to Southern California to check it out. And we went out, and they felt like they could teach me how to row, and so I agreed to, you know, attend the university in the fall. And at the time, I still never even tried it. I had seen it. I'd never tried it. And one of the local newspapers wanted to write an article because at the time, this was sort of unheard of. You know, Title IX was really sort of in its resurgence as far as scholarship availability and whatnot. So this was starting to pop up, but definitely not where I'm from. So they managed to find these two gentlemen who row their singles in their man-made lake in their neighborhood. And it's wow. Just like what you would imagine, the little, like, it's probably 100-foot wide, swerving, you know, fake blue water-looking thing. And I had to go to their house, and they kept their singles in their garages. And I don't, now that I know more about rowing, I don't remember how they kept them in the garage, but they were in the garage, and they carried them down, and I literally, the first time I sat in a boat, I was in a racing single. And
oh,
I had no idea what I was doing. They put it in the water, and they said, get in. I stepped in the bottom of the boat, which to this day horrifies me because I could have destroyed this person's boat who
yeah.
I never met before. And they said, all right, here's the oars, and there you go. And they just pushed me off while the photographer took pictures for the article, for the paper, and I took a couple strokes. And I did run into the wall on the other side or the, you know, the river's edge. And thankfully I had a bow ball. I didn't hit it very hard, but I know I hit it, and then I couldn't figure out how to get turned around. So that was my first experience in rowing. It was just these two men who I'd never met before on the water, and it was pretty great.
Wow.
So we have a list of questions we like to ask our guests on this show.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them is we're wondering what your most embarrassing rowing moment is. Doesn't have to be you. Could be somebody else.
Not stepping in the boat either.
Not stepping in the bottom of a man's racing gel.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't embarrassing because I didn't know to be embarrassed. You know, I just was
yeah,
talking about
you,
my business.
Yeah, you didn't know.
What I think it's, I was thinking about this earlier because I knew this was going to be one of the questions. And so I was like, well, there's a couple like flipping stories. I flipped once, I almost died, you know, those, everyone's got, you know, those. So I kind of, I don't know how embarrassing it is, but it's very like, it's almost ridiculous in its sense. We were in Texas in college. We went out to Austin to train for our winter training. So we spent 2 weeks in Austin. And every day we would go to lunch and dinner at this local college. They had their like cafeteria, and we just bought a bulk of meals, and that's where we ate lunch and dinner. And one day we were waiting to go to lunch, and unbeknownst to us, the hotel we were staying in was in a rough part of town, but we didn't know, since we just picked the hotel. And a homeless individual stumbled up to the front of the hotel where he had been stabbed in a knife fight in the parking lot of our hotel. And we left, but we did find out later that he had died, which is quite unfortunate. But we were all sort of stunned, you know, that this man had been murdered, basically at our hotel. So we're at lunch, and then, you know, and everyone's like, what are we going to do? Well, we're probably going home. Like, this is crazy. We can't stay in this hotel any longer. And so we're driving back from lunch, and my coach is driving. I was in the front seat of the van. He's driving. And he goes, all right, we have to talk. And everybody gets quiet because we're like, all right, we're going home. Like, this is it. And he's like, we need to talk about the dessert issue. And we said, what? He goes, you all are eating too many desserts. Because he was so concerned about all of our weight being rowers and out there training that we were eating at a buffet lunch and we were going back for desserts. Had nothing to mention about the man who had just been killed. He wanted to talk about how many calories we
you
were
guys had
taking
been killing.
In.
Yeah.
And so everybody sort of was like, all right. So it then became the joke of the entire trip. The coaches were beyond embarrassed because we made fun of it at every chance we could get. The fact that they totally ignored this disaster, traumatizing event. Some of the girls had seen this, you know, man who'd been stabbed, and they just ignored it because they were concerned about our calorie consumption. So
that's amazing.
If you're going to row in college, be concerned about your calorie consumption.
Oh, don't eat too many desserts. We've learned lots of lessons this episode.
Yes.
Yes. So,
and,
that's my good.
And then, Alicia, the last question that we'd like to ask is, do you still have all of your medals? And if so, where do you keep them?
I do have all. I hope it's all of them. I do have them. I have, they're in a box. I should take them to my office. I have a couple, like, plaques that I won in college for winning various whatevers. And I should take them into my office because they are in a box with a lot of keepsakes.
You should.
So they're not out on display, but I know where they are.
Yeah. Take them out. Yeah. Give them a little daylight.
I know. Show them the world.
Yeah. Well, they need to see the world.
Get them a dessert.
Exactly. Yes. They can have as many desserts as they want.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Well, excellent. Well, Alicia, thank you so much for being on with us today. We had a really good time talking with you, and we love to hear about the more about the golf course pond some other time. So,
absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. Go out to your local golf course. It's a rowing resource that you didn't know you had, so now you know. And, you know, if you're looking for something to do on Saturday night, must love dogs.
Must love dogs, absolutely.
Streaming on Netflix.
And let's get on Twitter and let's get a Must Love Dogs 2 going. We're gonna start a social media campaign for Must Love Dogs 2.
I love it.
Return of the featured extras.
Perfect.
All right. Well,
I know at least 8 other women who would be behind this.
Yes. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining this afternoon.
You're welcome, ladies. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so I'm dead serious. We have to start the Must Love Dogs 2 campaign. Absolutely. I would like to see this be a thing. Get more rowing in there.
I agree. And, you know, I'm totally in favor of more movies with rowing in them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, who doesn't want to be a featured extra on their time off?
I'd love to make $2,000 for a week.
I'd love to make $2,000 for a week. And I'd love to see their crafty table.
Yeah,
snacks.
Definitely. Lots of
just
snacks.
Just like the rowing tent.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. This has been a little insight into the movie business and a little insight into what's going on at the scrapyards in Northern California. So be on the lookout for the Little Admiral statue.
Absolutely. Yes, please keep your eyes out for the Little Admiral statue. And as always, please follow us on any type of social media that you can, Short and Snarky Rowing on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you haven't picked up your copy of Short and Snarky Guide to Coxing and Rowing on Amazon, it is available. We have the links on all of our social media. So, yeah, please check us out.
All right. Well, great. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.
Last two strokes. That's one, two. Way enough. Let it run. Blades down.